Let's go to Simon Marks, who's our Washington correspondent. I'm seeing pictures of a door. Are you?
I am seeing pictures of a door, Ian, and very soon we're going to be seeing the President of the United States walking out of that door. This is the door to Walter Reed Medical Center, just outside Washington, D.C., in Bethesda, Maryland, where the President has spent three nights, but he is not going to be spending a fourth after he announced, not his doctors, he announced on Twitter 3 hours ago, I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30, it's just turned 6:30 here in Washington, D.C. Feeling really good, he wrote. Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Now, in the last few minutes, we know that inside Walter Reed Medical Center, President Trump is with a camera crew, and they appear to be gathering images that I suspect we will be seeing used either later tonight or tomorrow in campaign videos. He's going to walk out of this building. He's going to head to Marine One, the helicopter that brought him here on Friday at almost exactly this time, and he's going to head back to the White House. 10 minutes ago on Twitter, he said, "We'll be back on the campaign trail soon. The fake news only shows the fake polls." I'm not sure what polls he considers not to be fake, but over the weekend, polling data here showed that Joe Biden is 14 points ahead of him nationally, and also that Joe Biden is opening up a widening lead over President Trump in all the major battleground states. Even the Rasmussen poll here, which is much more favorable generally to Republicans and particularly to this president, now shows that Donald Trump is 8 percentage points behind his Democratic rival on a national scale. He's also given us some insight, I think, into what we're going to be hearing from him over the course of the next few days in other tweets that he's published within the last hour. These ones quoting the columnist Miranda Devine of the New York Post. And the quote is that he's retweeted, "You will see it in the enthusiasm for the president outside Walter Reed Hospital. You see it in registrations, voter registrations from Florida to Pennsylvania and West Virginia, where Republicans, he claims, are outstripping Democrats by 2-1. If the president bounces back on the campaign trail, he will be an invincible hero who not only survived every dirty trick the Democrats threw at him, but the China virus as well." Those words of Miranda Devine in the New York Post, absolutely endorsed by President Trump, who says, "Thank you, Miranda," and once again says that everything was going very well until the China plague arrived. Now, as we wait for President Trump to come out of the doors of this hospital, let me just play back to you what his doctor, Sean Conley, the White House physician, had to say when he finally got the opportunity to brief reporters on the news that the president had already announced.
"He's met or exceeded all standard hospital discharge criteria. He'll receive another dose of remdesivir here today, and then we plan to get him home. Though he may not entirely be out of the woods yet, the team and I agree that all our evaluations, and most importantly, his clinical status, support the president's safe return home, where he'll be surrounded by world-class medical care 24/7.
So to just cut through some of the verbiage there, what Dr. Conley, the White House physician, was confirming is that Donald Trump still has COVID-19. And we see the doors to this hospital now opening as some officials wearing masks come out, which perhaps indicates that the president's departure is imminent. But essentially, his doctor there, Sean Conley, said the president still got COVID-19. He's going to go back to the hospital. And now we can see Donald Trump emerging from the building in his trademark blue suit. He's got a blue tie on, a white face mask covering his face, and he offers a fist punch to indicate that he is victorious, has vanquished COVID-19, even though, as I was saying, we still know that he's still got it. He's still infectious, and he is still on remdesivir, the antiviral that he will be taking once he returns to the White House. Reporters shouting questions at him. Let's see if he says anything. Gives the thumbs up as he walks past the cameras. walking as he did out of the hospital. He's walking unaided into the hospital. A thumbs up, another fist bump, salute there, and he's getting into one of the White House limousines that will now ferry him to Marine One. And that will take him back to the White House. The outstanding question of the evening is, will he be isolating at the White House? There's no indication that that's part of the plan, although apparently a suite of offices is being arranged for him where he can work in the residence. He, we are told, is very keen to get back into the West Wing. He's obviously, from that tweet we were just reporting, very keen to get back onto the campaign trail. And he's also indicated this afternoon that he will be participating in that second televised debate with Joe Biden in 10 days' time. However, his campaign insists that he will not agree to the moderator of that debate being given any mute button that would silence the president's microphone. So I think there are still enormous questions hanging over that second debate, but more broadly, enormous questions hanging over the president's behavior today and over the last several days. In none of the videotapes that he has released from the hospital has he ever provided the American public with any public health advice, like wear face masks, like engage in social distancing. He's returning to a White House that is increasingly soaked with COVID-19. His press secretary and two other officials in the White House press and communications department tested positive today. They're doing the responsible thing. They're isolating for 14 days. It doesn't look like President Trump, as this motorcade snakes its way through the roadways of Walter Reed Medical Center and heads over to the landing pad where Marine One is awaiting him. It doesn't sound, Ian, as though President Trump is going to do the responsible thing once he gets back to the White House.
Well, they were saying, weren't they, that in terms of the medical facilities, 24/7 in the White House, they're just as accomplished as they are at the medical centre. I'm interested to know, well, what's been the reaction and what has happened to Dr. James P. Phillips, who's the chief of disaster medicine and emergency medicine. He actually works at that hospital. He tweeted this, remember, yesterday. Every single person in the vehicle during that drive-by, completely unnecessary presential drive-by, just now has to be quarantined for 14 days. They might get sick. They may die. For political theatre, commanded by Trump to put their lives at risk for theatre, this is insanity. Is he political? Has he still got a job?
Well, he is, just to be clear about who he is an attending physician at Walter Reed. Right. So he wasn't involved in the president's care in any way. And of course, Walter Reed is a massive medical facility on the outskirts of Washington, D.C. And it has a large array of attending physicians who have privileges to go there and engage in medicine. So he was an attending physician expressing fury about what happened last night when President Trump decided to engage in that, I think, by any measure, reckless ride by putting the health and safety of his own Secret Service detail, his driver, senior staff members at risk in order to wave at supporters, a small crowd of them who had gathered outside Walter Reed Medical Center before returning to the medical center. Of that incident today on Twitter, President Trump said, "It is reported that the media is upset because I got into a secure vehicle to say thank you to the many fans and supporters who were standing outside the hospital for many hours." President Trump now out of the limousine, giving another thumbs up as he prepares to board Marine One. He's climbing the stairs, giving a wave, getting on board Marine One, which will now bring the other officials on board who are going to be traveling with him. Again, he is still infectious. This is not...
They're all wearing masks.
They are wearing masks, but they are going to be in close proximity to him on this helicopter. There is not a doctor in the country who would argue that this is a COVID-safe environment for the president, for the people traveling with the president on what is going to be a very short 6 or 7 helicopter ride back to the White House. He was saying earlier today, as I said, that it was the media that was upset that he had got into a secure vehicle to say thank you to his fans and supporters, who had, he said, been standing outside the hospital for many hours and even days to pay respects to their president. If I didn't do it, he says, the media would say rude. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I'm not sure we
He's just tweeted again, actually. He said, we'll be back on the campaign trail soon. The fake polls from the fake media. That's his
Yeah, response. The fake news only shows the fake polls. They've just put the stairs up at the helicopter. The limousines are now driving away, and that means that we'll see the rotor blades whirring very soon, and the helicopter will take off and make its short journey back to the White House. The timing of this, Ian, let's be clear, is not coincidental. It is 6:44 in the evening here. Mm. At 6:30 p.m., that's when the big network news begins to come on air. There will be some channels that start at 7. But I can tell you, on the channel I'm watching now, ABC News has preempted its nightly half-hour news broadcast in order to bring viewers live coverage of what I think the president's detractors will argue is essentially a campaign advertisement. As he gets on board Marine One, and we can see the helicopter blades now whirring, it will be taking off from that landing pad at Walter Reed Medical Center in the next few hours. You know, Joe Biden will be sitting and watching this and realizing that at least for this half hour on ABC television network, no one is hearing a word that he has got to say, because everybody is focused very intently on what President Trump is doing. With regard to what Joe Biden was saying a little bit earlier in the day, he was asked if he's willing to participate in that second presidential debate in 10 days' time. Here's what he said.
Listen to the science. If the scientists say that... If the scientists say that it's safe and the distances are safe, then I think that's fine. I'll do whatever the experts say is the appropriate thing to do.
Be very interesting to see what the experts say. I can tell you that there's been a dispute over the last few hours between the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign over the arrangements for the vice presidential debate on Wednesday night here, the early hours of Thursday morning there, between Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris. Senator Harris insisted that if the debate was going to go forward, a plexiglass screen needed to be installed so that she could be behind her screen and Vice President Mike Pence could be behind his screen. The Trump campaign initially rejected the idea and said no. And as the Biden campaign drew a line in the sand and said no plexiglass screen, no debate, the Trump campaign relented. So there will be plexiglass screens. Maybe they're installing some now at the White House to protect staffers there as Marine One takes off from Walter Reed Medical Center. It is now in the air. We can see it flying directly over the small crowd of Trump supporters waving Make America Great Again banners that are flying, that they're flying outside the hospital. You can see rush hour traffic halted as Marine One takes off and rises above the suburb of Bethesda, Maryland, and the high-rise apartment buildings and businesses, corporate offices that are located there. And now Air Force One, I might even hear it flying over my house in just a second because I'm almost on the flight path. But now Air Force One absolutely making its way down to the center of Washington, D.C., where the helicopter will land, I think, within the next, I would think, probably 5 minutes. It can't be more than a five-minute journey, maybe even a little bit less, as the White House helicopter, Marine One, makes its way through the air across the northern suburbs of Washington, D.C., on what has been a cold but relatively reasonable day from a weather perspective. So I think they'll be enjoying a relatively smooth ride down to the White House, where once again, I'm assuming they're landing on the White House lawn, and we will see President Trump get out and walk back into the building. It'll be interesting to see if Melania Trump, the First Lady, is there at the door to welcome him. She didn't travel to the hospital. She said that she didn't want to put her own Secret Service detail, drivers and staff at risk. She has tweeted within the last few hours saying that she is feeling better. She said in a tweet, if I can grab it here, my family is grateful for all the prayers and support. I am feeling good and will continue to rest at home. Thank you to medical staff and caretakers everywhere. And my continued prayers for those who are ill or who have a family member impacted by the virus. So let's see if we get an image of her today. I suspect if she's in isolation, she's taken it much more seriously than her husband. Perhaps we won't be seeing her. Perhaps she will stay in isolation.
Maybe she's waiting behind the front door with a rolling pin. What's the other helicopter I can see flying? Can you see that? Is that... Is that protection or is that media? There's one within about 100 metres.
Yeah, I'm only seeing one, but there's usually a convoy of them. When Marine One travels, it's invariably Marine One and either one or two other helicopters, one of which will be carrying members of staff and the other one will be carrying the press pool. And you know, when you live here, as I've done for so long, you kind of get blasé about this sight of seeing these helicopters literally flying, in our case, over our home here on a pretty regular basis. But it is quite a startling thing to see. Same thing startling, of course, to see the convoy of cars that ferries the president all over the city on a continuing basis. The White House has got the sunshine on it. Very similar to the kind of scene that we witnessed on Friday when the president took off into the sunset. He is going to be landing into the sunset in the not too distant future. Looks to me as though he's swooping down across Georgetown now. So I think he's going to be landing at the White House within the next couple of minutes. Again, mystery surrounds his plan. Is he going to go into isolation? Are they going to be able to keep him in isolation? Which, of course, is what millions of people all over the world have been doing for months when they are at risk of infecting other people with COVID-19. Or is he going to continue ignoring the medical advice, putting the health and welfare of staff at the White House at risk? And also, Ian, I mean, I think we shouldn't preclude the possibility here, given that we know that he's still being treated for COVID-19.
Yeah.
You know, is it possible that over the next few days there's some kind of a relapse and he has to head back?
But didn't Sean Connolly, whilst saying, you know, the president was in great spirits and all the rest of it, I mean, he is a doctor and he has to, you know, he's taken the Hippocratic Oath. So, and didn't he actually say we have to wait till next Monday before we can be sure that he's clear? So I would,
yes.
I would be amazed if he was allowed out of the building before next week.
Yeah, I'm afraid I've seen so many completely inconceivable things happen here over the last 4 years that I'm not sure I would be that amazed.
Really?
It wouldn't surprise me if we see him at a rally before the end of the week, the way this is going. But equally, it wouldn't surprise me to see. Look, I think it's perfectly conceivable that he will overrule the doctors, as he's clearly done here. It was his decision to discharge himself. He's been itching to get out for 2 days. We know that he wanted to leave yesterday, and the deal they did with him was essentially to make him stay for another night, but they let him do the ride by from the protests.
I mean, he has the ultimate decision. I'm presuming a doctor's decision doesn't override that of the commander-in-chief, does it?
Well, I think there is a real question here about at what point has the doctor-patient relationship been entirely put at risk by the political considerations that clearly have left Dr. Connolly chasing his tail a little bit, and there were some key medical pieces of information that Dr. Connolly would not give us. Now we're seeing Marine One coming past the Washington monument, that sort of Cleopatra's Needle style monument, the obelisk that is right there on the Washington, the National Mall. So he is seconds away now from landing at the White House, a man clearly very determined to get back to the White House and to his residence and to his work. There were key medical pieces of information that Dr. Connolly would not provide today, including when was the president last tested and showed up negative for COVID-19.
Yeah.
And that timeline that they've been obfuscating around now for days is critical, because it will tell us to what extent the president has already been a super spreader.
And the lung function's the other one, isn't it? Any scarring.
And the other lung, that's
you just
the
wouldn't
other
go
thing.
Into it, would it?
Any scarring, was there any pneumonia? Now, Marine One descending to the White House. You can see it coming down over the rooftop, the Secret Service and security on the roof of the building, keeping an eye. It pulls itself down below that level of the building, directly in front of those very familiar columns that circle the White House there, which is bathed in a mixture of sunlight, but also floodlights that have been put on, and he will be on the ground within moments. Very hard to see what kind of reception committee awaits him at the moment, but we can see leaves being kicked up by the rotor blades of Marine One, a flock of starlings getting out of the way rather sensibly of the helicopter as it is positioned for a landing. There seems to be a small crowd, definitely a press pool present to take pictures of President Trump as he lands back at the White House, exactly, almost exactly 72 hours to the minute, almost, from his departure on Friday night, which was somewhat a surprise, given that throughout Friday we'd been told he was suffering from only mild symptoms. But there he is now. They're positioning the helicopter and it touches down right on the lawn. Back wheels are down now. Front wheels are coming down and they too are on the White House lawn. So he's back, and pretty soon those rotor blades will stop spinning and he will go into the building. And I suspect over the course of the next few hours, we will learn whether he's going to isolate and do what he ought to be doing or whether he's going to be getting straight back to work. We will also be seeking to find out what COVID-safe protocols they've implemented at the White House in his departure. And it will not surprise me at all, Ian, if he in some fashion communicates with the American public, either through video released on his Twitter feed or, who knows, maybe a phone call into his favorite television channel, the Fox News channel, in a couple of hours' time. If I was working at the Fox News channel, I'd be eagerly awaiting the call, I suspect.
Simon, thank you, as always. That's our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. And we will keep across what's happening. Obviously, you can hear that the helicopter blades are still whirring. We're waiting for the president to come out. The welcoming committee, well, there's a few people at windows, but can't see anything particularly newsworthy at the moment. So that's it, really. It's now 4 minutes to seven in the evening. And as Simon was saying, you know, he is the master showman and he has deliberately left the building, as they say, to coincide with the nightly national news bulletins across the country. Right, let's go back to Washington and speak to our correspondent, Simon Marks. What's happening, Simon?
Well, I have to tell you, Ian, that in the last few minutes, after President Trump got off Marine One, and we covered that live just before the news, he then made his way up the main flight of stairs that leads to the central portico into the White House. And when he got to the central entrance to the White House, he stood on the balcony looking out over the White House lawn. You could see him just above the whirring helicopter blades of Marine One as it was preparing to take off. His first act upon returning to the White House was to remove his face mask. He stood there for several minutes, saluting, staring at the helicopter and the pilots, looking out across the White House lawn as video cameras rolled for what we know are images that the Trump campaign plans to use, with absolutely no regard whatsoever for the health and welfare of the people surrounding him at the White House. This man who claimed 24 hours ago to have learned a lot about COVID-19 from his experience at Walter Reed Medical Center. I get it, he said in that video that he released last night. His first official act upon returning to a White House that is not just the place where he lives, it's the place where hundreds of people work, a growing number of whom, including today his own press secretary, two people in the White House press and communications department, at least two members of the White House housekeeping staff, all tested positive for COVID-19 and began isolating themselves. His first act upon returning to the White House was the act of a man who seems absolutely determined to continue flying in the face of science and medical advice, acting as a super spreader of COVID-19 in a bid to secure video images that he hopes will convey to his supporters that in some fashion he is an invincible gladiator who has vanquished what he refers to as the China virus. By any stand, even by the insane local standards of what we have witnessed here over the last 4 years, there is never a flaw. But even by all of those standards, this is jaw-droppingly the most reckless, irresponsible behaviour by any occupant of the nation's highest office that this country has ever seen. I can tell you also that within the last hour, the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, has been on the phone with Nancy Pelosi. He wanted to go up to Capitol Hill for meetings with her so that they could continue talking about a new stimulus package to help the economy. Nancy Pelosi told him to forget it. She says she won't have anyone from the White House on Capitol Hill because she doesn't want them bringing COVID-19 to Capitol Hill from the West Wing of the White House. So he is back. He is in the White House. He clearly, despite what he said 24 hours ago, has learned absolutely nothing. I'm just watching these pictures again. He goes up the stairs to the main portico. It's the balcony overlooking the lawn where Marine One landed. And as he gets up to the top, he pulls his face mask off, moves to the center of that balcony overlooking the lawn, and stands there for campaign video images to be grabbed of him floodlit with the sunset on him, glaring out, saluting the helicopter pilots and trying to convey that just ludicrous image of invincibility in the face of COVID-19. I've never seen anything like it.
Say it as it is. Thank you, Simon. The time is 17 and a half minutes past midnight.